so much, choir. We appreciate you being here today and looking forward to our time together. How many of you know someone that is sick? You know someone that's sick? Hopefully that someone's not here this morning, but there are so many folks in our congregation with different illnesses and sicknesses, and so many folks our heart go out to. But this morning, we're praying our time together today. Our inner man would be refreshed, and so many opportunities that as we look in the scripture, even as I look across the auditorium, there's answered prayers and folks we're praying for. Grace and Brandon, so good to see them. And Debbie had 3 brain stents on Thursday and here this morning ready to worship the Lord with us. So thankful for God's answered prayer, provision, protection. Let's pray. As I pray here this morning, I want to encourage you right where you're seated to pray and ask the Lord to use this time together to speak to our hearts. Lord, we thank you for these that are faithful to attend the services, that God, we're here this morning to worship, to have your word speak to our heart. Lord, we pray for everyone that's here, God, that our heart would be in tune with you. God, we pray for those that could not worship with us this morning, sick and other illnesses, could not make it to the house of the Lord this morning. God, I pray that you'll watch over them. Help us in this time. Use the scriptures, use these hymns, these songs to refresh our inner man. We'll ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll stand to your feet, please, and take your hymnal, hymn number 319. Let's do our very best this morning as Brother Mike comes along, "When the Redeemed Are Gathering In."
All right. I am thinking of the rapture and that blessed home.
You know this song? It's a beautiful song. What a Savior is like.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed that song. That last line said, lifting my burdens, relieving my cares. How many of you ever been there and he's helped you along the way? What a savior. If you'll stand one more time, please, and take your hymnal 201, Tell Me the Story of Jesus. Let's do our very best this morning.
Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell how the angels in chorus sang as they welcomed his birth. Glory to God in the highest, peace and good tidings. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Fasting alone in the desert, tell of the days that are past. How for our sins he was tempted, yet was triumphant at last. Tell of the years of his labor, tell of the sorrow he bore. He was despised and afflicted, helpless, rejected, and poor. Tell right on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever.
Look at that last verse now.
Tell of the cross where they nailed him, riding in anguish and pain. Tell of the grave where they laid him. Tell how he liveth again. Love in that story so tender, clearer than ever I see. Say, let me weep while you whisper, love paid the ransom for me. Tell me the story of Jesus, right on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard.
Wonderful singing. You may be seated.
Thank you so much. Great job singing this morning. My heart's been so helped already. I hope you got a bulletin on the way in, and several things I want to draw your attention to, and I don't want to belabor this, but there's some great things here in your bulletin. We have prepared an Easter scripture reading plan. I hope you got one of those in your bulletin, and I would encourage you or challenge you all week long to use this. Today would be Palm Sunday, and we will read the biblical accounts or the stories in scripture of where Jesus rode into town there on the donkey, and then this would be kind of the Passion Week of Christ or his last week, but we prepared that for you, beautifully prepared. I hope you have one of those. Maybe if you even want to take one and share it with someone else, but it would be a great opportunity to prepare your heart for our services on next Sunday. And so we're looking forward to that. We had a great time yesterday with outreach, and we went out and hung some door knockers and took our Easter invite cards. We just have a handful of those Easter invite cards back there in the back. I would challenge you or encourage you to do those and get those this week. Hand those out. We appreciate that so much. Tonight, we are having a gospel hymn singing, and I realize there's a lot of sickness and folks with the flu and folks with COVID. They told me the pandemic was over. I haven't figured that part out yet, but the COVID's still around, and we do have a lot of folks that are sick, but we're still going to meet here at 6 o'clock tonight, and we're going to have a time of worship. We're going to sing 7 or 8 old gospel hymns folks have submitted. We're going to have some scripture reading, have a season of prayer, really to prepare our heart for the great week ahead with Easter right around the corner. But a lot of good things going on here. I hope you do your very best to participate in all these things. Our heart does go out to folks that could not be with us, those that are sick and those that are battling different illnesses. We miss them dearly and pray very, very soon that God would bring them back our way. If you help us in the Children's Church program here, so each week at 11 o'clock, we have Children's Church in the basement with the boys and girls and those that serve along there that have the Bible lessons and things of that nature. Right here on the front row are the materials for the next quarter. We had prepared those this week. If you'll do your very best, that'll help you out. And with Easter right here next Sunday, the boys and girls over the next 12 weeks will study who Jesus is and why he came. And what another great opportunity to invest in the lives and hearts of those boys and girls. Brother Doug, if you'll come right in.
And again, we'd like to welcome you being here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. I know it's a little bit of a chilly spring day. Tennessee can't decide whether it wants to be winter or spring right now. So hopefully we'll start getting a little bit more warm weather. But we thank you for being here. If you're here and it's your very first time being here this morning, we want to thank you for joining us today. And we would ask you just fill out the visitor's card that you'll find right there in the back of your the pew that you're in, and if you'll fill that right out, and then when the ushers come around in just a few moments, if you just drop that in there, we'll have a record of your first time being here. And as our men come, I'll give us just a couple of announcements. We'll have our men come for our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. April the 6th, we've got a few, or April is going to be a little bit of a busy month, got a few things coming up. If you are one of our Sunday school teachers, I know probably a lot of them are not, a few of them are in here this morning, but if you do teach Sunday school or you have a desire to teach Sunday school here in the future, there is going to be a Sunday school training on April the 6th. This will be at New Grace Baptist Church in Bristol, Virginia. Going to meet here at the church at about 8:15 or 8 o'clock, and we're going to be leaving about 8:15 to go to New Grace Baptist Church there and have a little bit of Sunday school training. And I know that it'll be help. It'll be a blessing. Then upcoming also towards the end of April, we are having our spring revival. And if I'm not mistaken, that's going to be with Brother Dale Vance, correct?
No, nope. No, it's with Pastor Steve Cox.
Okay, I was wrong on that. Steve Cox on that. And so that's going to be a blessing as well. So be in prayer about that. We live in a technology age, and so we had the gentleman here with the gospel film project and showing us how that the gospel, that we can use technology to get the gospel out. Well, we as a church are trying to do that as well, and we have added just one more thing to our repertoire, so to speak, in technology. We do have an Instagram page, so in the middle of your bulletin, you'll find the Instagram page there, Tabernacle Baptist _KingsportTN. And there'll be a lot of announcements, a lot of encouraging quotes and different things like that on our Instagram page. So go on there and like that and be a part of that. We're just trying to get the gospel out and be an encouragement to our church and our community as much as we possibly can. So if you'll do that for us, we'd appreciate that. And I'm going to ask Brother Warner if he asked the blessing on the offering this morning.
Thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you meet the needs of our church, church family, financially. Lord, I pray just bless everything that's done and said here this day. Lord, give Pastor wisdom, exact message we need to hear. And I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen.
This beautiful, beautiful song, there's something about that name. Will you sing it with me, please? Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Real quietly now together, let's all say the name Jesus. You ready? One, two, three. Jesus. Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I want to give you several prayer requests, and then we'll pray, and then Jennifer will come along and share in song, and then we'll make ready for our preaching service. Just two prayer requests. There's a lot of folks that are sick, and I do so appreciate your faithfulness as I look out across the crowd and folks that we've been praying for, folks that we're asking God to help. And to see you here is an encouragement to me. And I'm so happy that you're here this morning. Two prayer requests. Stephanie Stevens has been transported to Asheville, and she is having her third surgery on her heart in 4 weeks. And so let's be praying much for Stephanie Stevens. And then Brother Wade Eldreth is having a surgery on Wednesday in Knoxville. Brother Wade and Miss Jean, so faithful here at our church. I want to pray for these, and as soon as I'm concluded praying, Miss Jennifer will come along. If you have the Word of God, turn to Exodus chapter 12, and I want to do my very best to paint a picture of the sacrificial lamb and come to the New Testament and show us Jesus Christ, if the Lord will give me clarity of mind and thought. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to meet here. God, we thank you for this church family, this church body. And God, this morning, many are sick, many are hurting. Even those here this morning may have great needs, great things in a private nature they could not share. And God, we pray that you would comfort their heart and help them. Lord, we do pray for this Stephanie Stevens. God, we pray for the doctors. We pray for those even in Asheville this morning that are working with her. And we pray that you would give them wisdom and direction. And God, restore her health, help her in these days. God, we do pray for Brother Wade and Miss Jean on Wednesday as they have this surgery. God, that you would guide the surgeons, be with the doctors. Lord, in just a few moments, as we open the scriptures, illuminate our mind and heart. Help us in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Miss Jennifer's coming along.
Drive the nails in my hands, laugh at me from where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see. Death can't keep me in the ground. listen. Go ahead and say I'm dead and gone, but you will see that you were wrong. Go ahead, try to hide the sun, but all will see that I'm the one, 'cause I'll come again. Ain't no power on earth can keep me back. Yes, I'll come again. Come to take my people back. Come to take my people back.
Number 12 this morning, and this is a thought. It's been on my mind and heart for several weeks, and I need the Lord to help me kind of put it all together. I want to preach this morning this thought as we approach Easter, today being Palm Sunday. I want to go to the Old Testament, to Exodus chapter number 12, and I want to bring this thought: Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb. Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb. When you in your mind think of a lamb, you think of gentleness. When you in your mind you think of a lamb, you think of innocence. When you in your mind and you think of a lamb, you think of purity. And here instituted in the book of Exodus is the first Passover. And all the types and all the pictures that we see in the book of Exodus. And then in a moment, we'll go to the New Testament and we'll be reminded that all of the things that we are given in Exodus chapter 12, Jesus Christ himself fulfilled all those things. He was without spot. He was without sin. He was without blemish. He was inspected, if you will. He was tried of the Sanhedrin, and he had endured great trials and struggles. He was innocent. He was gentle. He was pure. Yet at Calvary's Hill, they killed the perfect Lamb. I want to do our very best in these few moments to walk through the text. Look with me, please, at Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be a beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. This is the very first Passover. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month ye shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. So he gives, he gives some details. Verse 4, if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto the house take it according to the number of the souls, and every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. There's a lamb and then there's the lamb. Then look at verse 5, it gets personal. It says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up to the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and shall take the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and upon the upper post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roasted with fire, unleavened bread, with bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Now this lamb they're talking about here, this Passover lamb, it was consumed or eaten by the household. It wasn't taken to a priest. And so in your mind, you see the blood on the doorpost. You see the father has selected the lamb. You see that it was put up for 4 days. You see that it was inspected. You see that on the 14th day, that father took that innocent little lamb in the sight of his children. the sight of his family and that innocent lamb under the arm of the father, and that father had to slay that lamb. The innocent had to die so that the guilty could go free. The death angel would come in that evening, and the death angel would see on the doorpost of that home. Didn't matter how fancy the home was. It didn't matter those that were inside of that home. It didn't matter their education or their social status. What did the lamb, what did they look for, the death angel? It looked for the blood applied to the doorpost. You and I, Jesus Christ, our perfect lamb, went to Calvary, paid for my sin and your sin, went to a borrowed tomb and arose victorious. What does Jesus Christ look for on our hearts today? The blood of his precious son applied to our heart and life. We come now to verse 6, and you shall keep it up to the 14th day of the same month. Verse 7, you shall take the blood and strike it upon the signpost, upon the doorpost, wherein ye shall eat it this week in my reading and study. And I've seen this picture. It's on the signpost. It's on the doorpost. It is said that the father would actually, at the threshold of the door, slay that lamb. I don't know if he put it between his legs, if he held it in his arms, but he would cut that lamb's throat, and that blood was shed at the door coming into the house. Then that blood was applied to the doorpost. Then that blood was applied to the top, or what we would call in today's building frame, the header. It's a picture of Christ, the crown of thorns, the nail-pierced hands, the nail-pierced feet. Again and again and again and again, here in the Old Testament, our Lord was painting this picture of the Lamb, the perfect Lamb. They take the blood, they sprinkle it on the signpost. Verse 7, verse 8, you shall eat the flesh thereof that night and roast with fire and unleavened bread with bitter herbs, ye shall eat it. You shall not eat it of it raw or sodden at all with water, but roast it with fire, his head with the legs and the pertinence thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain unto the morning. And that which remaineth unto the morning, you shall burn with fire. They consumed this lamb. They consumed this lamb, and that lamb sustained them. That lamb gave them strength. That lamb provided for them. It was also said that when they would slay this lamb and they would roast it with fire, that they would run a piece of wood through that lamb from the front to the back, and they would, through the chest of that lamb, run another piece of wood as they roasted that lamb with fire. Well, again, what is that a picture of? The cross of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of the coming work of the Son, Jesus Christ. You shall let nothing of it remain to the morning. Verse 11. And thus shall ye eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. What was the difference between the Egyptians and the Israelites? What was the difference? It wasn't their status. It was the fact that they had to have the blood applied to the doorpost. So many people today, what if a father doubted the importance of applying blood to the doorpost? What was at stake? The oldest son in their household would die.
That's right.
How many people have negated the work of the Lord? It's not important. They choose lesser things. There's judgment to be paid. Thus shall it be with your loins girded. Verse 11, verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land, both of men and beast, against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute, I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The idea of Passover, it actually carries the thought. You see this in Psalms, as a mother hen would open her wings of protection. That's literally what the word in the Hebrew Passover means. It was a symbol of protection.
And the blood shall be for you a token upon the houses where ye are. And I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. I want to read 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. This is what the Bible tells us. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Look with me, please, now at Exodus 12 and verse 21. Exodus 12 and verse 21. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. So they obeyed, verse 21, they obeyed. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel on the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two side posts. The Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. You shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according hath he promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed their head and worshiped, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Sweetheart in the back, honey, just turn this one off. It's ringing real bad.
Thank you so much. How about now? The lapel's not working? All right, let's try something else. Help me up here. Is this turned on?
Yeah, it's better. All right, try this one. Very good. I just want you to know my daughter's in the sound booth, not Harold, just for me to say sweetheart back here in the back. All right, we're ready to go now. That thing was ringing in my mind 10 different ways. All right, we're going to do our best. Thank you. Here's a brief outline about Jesus, the perfect lamb, or Jesus, the picture of the perfect lamb. We see that how the lamb was selected. In the text, there's some specific things about how the lamb was selected. It was to be without blemish. It was to be without spot. It was to be taken in its prime or in its youth. Not a crippled lamb, not a sickly lamb, but a lamb that was taken. It was to be a male of the first year. In your mind, you see this lamb tethered outside the home, and you see the little boys and girls each day going by the lamb, and you see the father go out to the lamb, and you see the father each day inspect the lamb and to make sure there's no parasites, to make sure it wasn't sickly, to make sure it was pure and perfect. You see the selection of the lamb. Next, you see how they secured the lamb in verse 6 of the text. They'll keep it up until the 14th day of the month. Our Lord and Savior began a public ministry when he was 30 years old. For 3 years, he performed miracles. He taught in the synagogues. He was really revealing his plan to mankind. Here it is on Palm Sunday. Jesus comes into town. Is Jesus not scrutinized from Palm Sunday until about middle of the week when they crucified him? They say, whom do men say that I am? The idea, are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? And then Jesus' own words answer, thou sayest. Our Lord was coming into town, if you will. Our Lord was scrutinized. Our Lord was under this microscope. He was selected. He was secured. He was scrutinized. Verses 6 through 9, the lamb was slain. All of this was deliberate. All of this was for a purpose. All of this had significant meaning. As the children of Israel now are ready to leave Egypt and begin their wilderness journey, this is kind of the beginning point or the starting point. You see in verses 3 through 6, you see a decision for the lamb, a lamb for a household, or if the home was small, that they would have one there between it.
The lamb was taken up on the 10th day of the month. The lamb was inspected in verse 3. You see the gentleness here, Isaiah 53, 6 and 7. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Come with me in your mind to the New Testament, John chapter 1, verse 29. Who is John's father? Who is John's father? John the Baptist. I'm talking about John the Baptist. Who is John's father? Zacharias. What was his job? He was a priest. What is the first thing John the Baptist says when he sees Jesus in John chapter number 1? Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. How did John the Baptist know that? Psalms 113 to Psalm 118 are called the Psalms of Hillel. As John the Baptist was a little boy and his father was at the temple for years and years and years, he saw them slay the lamb. They saw them bring the blood. And while they were reciting the Psalms of Hillel, Psalms of Thanksgiving and Psalms of Praise, they were fulfilling the sacrifice and the blood was being shed. And so the first thing that comes to John the Baptist's mind in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb, which taketh away the sins of the world. Our Lord was tested. Our Lord was tried. Our Lord was scrutinized. Next thing I see in correlation, that the Lamb was tested, the Lamb was taken. The Lamb had no blemish. You and I have a sinless Savior. He was sinless in his actions. He was sinless in his character. 1 Peter 1, 19 through 20. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times to you. 1 Peter 2 and 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Hebrews 4 and verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Are you seeing the picture or the correlation between Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb, and what's happening here on the pages of Exodus? The Passover lamb was a male of the first year. That means that lamb was costly. That lamb was valuable. That lamb wasn't sickly. That lamb wasn't weak. That lamb was sacrificed in its full strength. Jesus Christ, our Lord, died, was sacrificed, was taken to Calvary's cross at 33 years old in full strength. The other thing is interesting to me, the Jewish Passover, if you were to read the text in verse 6, it says that they are to kill this lamb in the evening. You know the Easter account, the biblical story of Easter. When did it get dark? That afternoon. When did it get dark up in that evening time? The other thing that just amazes me, and I've brought this out previously as I taught through this text, is every time the priest in the Old Testament would take that lamb and it would cut his throat, this gentle or innocent lamb, the priest would say these words, "It is finished." What does Jesus, our Lord and Savior, say on Calvary's cross? He says, "It is finished. It has been fulfilled. It has been done. The need was met." The Passover lamb, it was killed in the evening. Christ died for all mankind. His sacrifice was sufficient to atone, to save the whole world. I want to bear down on this thought that Jesus Christ died for the sins of all mankind. If Christ only died for a select few, then technically our witnessing would go out the window. He died for all mankind. If Christ died for a select few, then claiming he loved the world would be a joke. If Christ only died for a select few and condemned the rest of mankind to hell, then why would God point us to himself? Romans 1:20, for the visible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. If Christ died only for a select few, then why does the Lord give all men his invitation to come? Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. 1 Timothy 2:4-6, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. 2 Peter 3:9, we're talking about the lamb and the things in Exodus, how it points us to Jesus Christ, the innocency, the gentleness, the time of his death, and all of these things line up. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Book of Genesis, you see that the lamb was slain for an individual. The book of Exodus, you see the lamb was slain for a family. In the book of Leviticus, you see that the lamb was slain for a nation. Come to the New Testament, you see that a lamb was slain for the sins of the whole world. Verse number 3 of our text this morning, you see a lamb. Folks that are without Christ, they look at Jesus as the lamb. Verse 4 of the text, you see the lamb, the Savior. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under the heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. You get to verse 5 of our text and it gets very personal. It says, your lamb. When you put your faith in Christ, he becomes your lamb. The blood of the sacrifice was applied to the doorpost. The Jews demonstrated faith in God's word when they applied this blood to the doorpost. What does that signify to us? Knowledge alone was not enough. How many people come to church and sit on the pew and they can tell you the biblical stories and they can know all the right things to say, and all they have is a knowledge of Jesus. They don't personally know him. Knowledge alone was not enough. You must trust him by faith, obey his word, and believe on him. Faith in God was visible to others just as much as the blood that was applied to the doorpost. As the Hebrews entered their home, their thoughts would be upon that blood. As they left the next morning for the promised land, they would be greeted by the blood on the door. Their homes were a constant reminder to the Egyptians that the blood spared them. The blood redeemed them. The blood saved them. The blood on the outside of their homes was the protection from God's judgment. The only defense against the judgment and death was the blood upon the doorpost. Grace and mercy was not shown at the expense of righteousness. The demand for holiness and the price for sin was met. The difference between the Egyptians and Israel was not a moral one. They're both sinners. The sole difference was that Passover lamb. God's eye was not on the houses, but it was upon the blood. And God's eye was not on those that were inside. It didn't matter who they were related to or what their status was. When the death angel came, it was looking for one thing. It was looking for the blood that was applied to the doorpost. Hebrews 9, verse 22, the Bible says this, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." It was not enough to shed the blood. It had to be applied to the doorpost. It's not enough to know Christ. You must receive him as your personal Savior. The power of the blood, it will redeem us. 1 Peter 1, verse 18. The power of the blood, it will cleanse us in 1 John 1 and verse 7. The power of the blood, it will bring us forgiveness in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. The power of the blood, it brings us close to God. It gives us peace. It enables us to be overcomers. It gives us boldness through Jesus Christ. It brings us justification. For without the blood, there would have been a slaughter of the firstborn. It was the applied blood on the doorpost that prevented that slaughter. The blood spoke peace to troubled hearts that night. On this first Passover there in Exodus, the blood that was applied to the door, that father no doubt would pillow his head, and those children in that home would pillow their head, knowing that they had been obedient to the Father. The blood brought peace. You know, you and I today, those of us that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when his blood is applied to our heart, does it not bring us peace today? Do we not have an assurance that heaven is our home? In your mind, come with me now to the New Testament, to the Passion Week of Christ. He's lived a sinless life. He's performed miracles. He's has his disciples around him. They begin to mock him. They begin to say evil things against him. They begin to take him, and he goes from Herod and Pilate and back and forth, and they accuse our Lord. They take a cat of nine tails and tie him to a post and scourge him, put a crown of thorns upon his head. This is how they treated the gentle lamb. This is how they treated the perfect lamb. This is how they treated the spotless lamb. Our Lord endured Calvary's cross. They lay him down and nail him to a wooden cross. In the blood of that perfect lamb, no legs were broken. Go back to Exodus. What's it say? No legs were broken. The pertinence thereof. They lay his body in a borrowed tomb. And 3 days later, he's resurrected alive forevermore. To bring salvation to all mankind. From the Old Testament all the way to the very first Easter morning. What do we see? A perfect lamb. You and I that are his children, as we prepare for a wonderful week ahead with Easter, as we think of what Jesus Christ did for you and I, should we not this morning be mindful and thankful for the perfect lamb? Maybe you're here this morning and you have never accepted Christ to be your Lord and Savior. Maybe you only have a head knowledge of him and not a heart knowledge of him. Maybe you just find yourself going through the motions. You're so empty on the inside. Oh, this morning, the thought or the application, my heart's desire as I had this thought about this perfect lamb was for those of us that know him as our Lord and Savior, that we would thank him for sending his son, the perfect lamb, to be the payment for my sin. Father in heaven, we're grateful for your goodness. God, we thank you on the pages of Scripture, how we're reminded again and again that you sent your innocent, perfect, gentle Son to be our Lamb, to be our salvation, that his blood was shed, that those of us that know you as Savior have had that applied to our heart. God, this morning, I pray that you'd bring conviction on that one that doesn't know you as Savior. God, that they would step out in this aisle and with full confidence know they could know you eternally in the matter of salvation. God, for those of us that are your children, would we be reminded of the sacrifice at Calvary? Would we be reminded of your goodness to us? Would we be reminded of your perfect Son shedding his blood for our account? Help us in this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand to your feet for a song of invitation as Brother Mike begins to sing? Hymn 161, if you'd like to sing, Jesus is Calling.
Today, why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam? He will not call you away. Calling today, calling today, Jesus is calling, he's gently calling today.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being here today. And that was a thought about this perfect Lamb, and I did the best I could to paint a picture, but in my own heart this week, I was reminded of his work at Calvary for you and I. I had actually called a friend of mine in Virginia that has little baby lambs, and I wanted to bring a little baby lamb in here and show you the innocence and the gentleness, yet that innocent lamb had to lose its life for those in that household to be spared. And our Lord and Savior was taken to Calvary's cross. And you and I enjoy eternal life for those of us that know him as Savior. I did the best I could. I didn't feel like I'd done too good, but I did the best I could. Let's just thank the Lord that he's coming back. The tomb is empty. And we have a wonderful week ahead to be mindful to praise him for his goodness, for his shed blood, that he loved me enough, he loved you enough to send his gentle, spotless Lamb, Jesus Christ, to be the payment for my sin and your sin. What a Savior. Are we not so unworthy, yet he still loves us. He still cares for us. I'm so happy to see you here this morning. Debbie, so good to see you here. She had 3 brain stents put in her brain there on Wednesday. And Richard found his way back to church here from Church Hill. He got lost along the way there. I'm glad to see Richard back. Had his knee surgery. Grace and Brandon, we've been praying for them. So many others. And I'm so grateful for all that God's doing. Listen, this week when you feel like getting discouraged and you feel like being a stick in the mud, just start counting your blessings and think of how good God is to us. And you'll get out of that stick in the mud real fast, right? And if you don't, just keep your mouth shut because you'll discourage someone else. Very good. Brother Larry, will you dismiss us with prayer, please?